Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. We'll begin reading in verse 9. Matthew 17, verse number 9. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, "Tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead." And his disciples asked him, saying, "Why then say the scribes that Elias or Elijah must first come?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them." Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Our Father, we thank you this morning for your great love for your people. We thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross, that we might know you, and Lord, that we might be set free by the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, we wait for Jesus' coming. We look forward to the day when he shall come in the clouds to receive us and to take us home to be with you. But until then, Lord, we look to your Word and study and learn exactly how you are preparing your people for the end of the age and the time that Jesus will return. And so, Lord, teach us this morning by your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. Give me the ability to communicate your truth in love and in the spirit of understanding. And Lord, we ask for your power. Not what the preacher says, but what does the Word of God say? And so we ask for your guidance and blessing during this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now this is somewhat of a difficult passage. However, what Jesus is saying here is that Elijah truly did come, but the Jews rejected him. And so if they would have received him, then the Lord would have been on track, and they would have understood that the Messiah was coming to redeem them and to finish off the end of the age, which could have well happened. But they rejected John the Baptist as Elijah, an Elijah-like prophet, and instead they crucified the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's explaining this to them in verse 10, when his disciples ask, "Why then say the scribes that Elijah must come first?" Then Jesus answered and says, "Elijah truly shall come first." So there will be a coming of a future Elijah, as recorded in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. I'll read that. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." And so here you have the prophecy that the Lord Jesus is referring to, because this last word from the Old Testament before Jesus came, 400 years between that time that this was written, the prophet Malachi gives hope to the Jews and says that God is going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now that day of the Lord has not yet occurred. That's at the end of the age when God brings judgment. That is God's wrath, which the believer is delivered from, according to 1 Thessalonians 1:10 and 1 Thessalonians 5:9. We will not go through the wrath of God. But before the wrath of God begins, God will send another Elijah-like prophet in the mold of the first Elijah, in the mold of the second one, John the Baptist. Will this prophet come? He'll be a Hebrew prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So, one of the major events on God's time of the end agenda is the sending of this last Elijah-like prophet. He has a twofold ministry focus. First of all, he'll be an integral part of the Lord's preparation of his people, turning the hearts of both Jew and Gentile. Secondly, he will restore all things pertaining to the Holy Covenant, which is recorded in Daniel chapter 11, verse 28 to 32. Now, the first 69 weeks of the 70 weeks of Daniel were under the Old Covenant. Now, this Elijah-like prophet, he will be responsible to not only revive the hearts of God's people, turning hearts, but also to spearhead the restoration of those necessary Old Covenant things prior to the 70th week of Daniel, as spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he will restore all things. Count on it. He will be sent before the climactic and unparalleled time of judgment of the earth and its population, which is called the Day of the Lord. It's the most prophesied event in Scripture. That Day of the Lord begins during the last half of the 70th week of Daniel, according to the Lord Jesus Christ's timeline in Matthew 24, verse 3 through 31. Now, this Elijah's ministry will begin sometime before the midpoint of the 70th week, when the abomination of desolation occurs, stopping the regular sacrifice. This regular sacrifice will have begun earlier, Daniel 8, verse 14, through the restore all things ministry of this last Elijah-like prophet. Indeed, the Lord will once again be sending prophets to his people, the Jews. These prophets will not just be affecting the land of Israel, as in Old Testament days, for like the two prophets of Revelation 11, 3-14, this last Elijah will likely have a worldwide ministry during his time of the end tenure as he ministers to the hearts of God's people. Yes, it would not have been necessary for the Lord to send us last Elijah-like prophet if the Jews had received John the Baptist, as we mentioned earlier. For the Lord Jesus Christ indicated all the prophets in the law prophesied until John, and if ye will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. But they didn't receive him. If they had, the Lord would have completed his already spelled out program, the Day of the Lord. And Malachi 4, 5, and 6 would have been fulfilled, but it wasn't. Instead, their rejection of John the Baptist and the Christ he was heralding has brought Jew and Gentile alike to this very time in the plan of God. During the close of the end of the age and before the beginning of the Day of the Lord, God surely will send this last Elijah to restore those things that he requires, which restitution or restoration Peter also spoke of in his second sermon in the book of Acts, Acts 3:20 and 21, and I'll read that. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution or restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Here, Peter indicates the return or second coming of the Lord will not happen until the times of restoration of all things, confirming that the Lord Jesus Christ's second coming will not occur until this last Elijah-like prophet restores those necessary things and is ministering to the hearts of men. Now, the word restitution here in Acts 3:20 and 21 is a noun. It's only used this one time in the New Testament. It also contains the Greek root of the verb restore the Lord Jesus used in Matthew 17, verse 11, meaning to restore to its former state, indicating the restoration of certain things. This same Greek root is found in the word translated shall turn again of Malachi 4:5 in the Old Testament. And here's how that reads. And behold, I will send you Elijah the Thesbite before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes, who shall turn again the heart of the father to the son and the heart of the man to his neighbor, lest I come and smite the earth grievously. This verse, as I just read it, is found in the Septuagint, which is the Greek Old Testament, a translation of the Hebrew that was the people's Bible before and during New Testament times. And it's still actively used by certain Greek Orthodox Christians in Eastern Europe. Over 90% of the Old Testament quotations in the New Testament find their source in the Septuagint, which the Lord Jesus himself utilized when he spoke of Elijah's future ministry of restoration in Matthew 17:11 that will occur, number one, before the return of the Lord, according to Acts 3:20 and 21. It'll occur before the day of the Lord. Before the day of the Lord occurs, will this prophet come, according to Malachi 4:5 and 6. Surely the Lord will send his prophet, the Elijah mentioned above, who will definitely restore all things, which indicates his ministry will not be unlike the original Elijah. He, in God's wisdom, he set the stage for the coming of the second Elijah, John the Baptist, who in like manner has accomplished the same for the third. The Holy Spirit, knowing and announcing God's plan as it unfolds, will direct him like the first and second Elijah. The first Elijah, he knew with absolute certainty exactly where, when, and what God was planning in order to accomplish his will for his people, as he gave the now famous ultimatum to King Ahab concerning the 3.5-year drought in 1 Kings 17, verse 1. His preparation for this notable day caused him to have earth-shaking faith as he immersed himself in the Word of God, thereby receiving the Holy Spirit's understanding that the Lord was about to bring a period of drought upon the earth in response to the idolatrous conduct of his people. That's in Deuteronomy 11, verse 16 and 17. Elijah later made another great ultimatum to God's people. He said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." 1 Kings 18, verse 21. That was followed by the renowned contest between God and Baal in 1 Kings 18, 22 to 40. Elijah's mighty prayer is recorded near the end of this contest, and here it is. "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." This prayer, this mighty, powerful prayer, brought down the all-consuming fire of God from heaven, eliciting the submission and worship of the people. This Holy Spirit-filled prayer by God's servant was what it took for God to turn their hearts, which in like manner is what it will take at the end of the age when the last Elijah will accomplish his service to God. John the Baptist, the second Elijah, after preaching repentance, preparing the hearts of God's people, announced the arrival of God's Lamb when Jesus approached on the banks of the Jordan River the day he was made known publicly at his baptism. And here's his proclamation. "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." John 1, verse 29. In the 3 days recorded in John 1, 19 to 36, John the Baptist would experience the culmination of his ministry when the first day the unbelieving Jews asked him, "Art thou Elijah?" And the second day he saw Jesus coming unto him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." And the third day, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Notice here that Jesus was God's lamb. Jesus was God's personal sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. God needed a perfect lamb, and behold, the Lamb of God, here, right at the very beginning of the Gospel of John in chapter 1. John knew, he knew who Jesus was, and exactly what he came to do for all of mankind, long before the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. He was completely accurate, John was, in his proclamations concerning the Christ, the Jewish Messiah, who came to save his people from their sins. It was John, like Elijah before him, who preached repentance to God's people, turning their hearts, preparing them for the coming of the Lord. In like manner, this last Elijah-like prophet will follow the example of those two Elijahs before him, preaching repentance to the people of God. With these two now past, some conclusions can be drawn from the biblical record concerning this coming last Elijah. This powerful Hebrew prophet will come during the end of the age, before the coming of Christ and the day of the Lord. He'll come to restore all things in the spirit and power of his two predecessors. If God continues to be the same yesterday, today, and forever, this prophet's ministry will multiply in a progressive manner. The scope of his ministry will increase from being strictly to the Jews in the land of Israel to include all saints of the existing church worldwide. In addition, if we examine Matthew chapter 3, 1-12, which show at least a dozen characteristics of John the Baptist's ministry, we can see a valuable insight and a pattern which has been developed and will probably be the same pattern followed by this future Elijah whom God will send before the great and terrible day of the Lord. If you turn to Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Number 1, John the Baptist stood in a difficult place and time. Verse 1. Number 2, he preached an unpopular message. Verse 2. Number 3, he stood alone. Verse 3. Number 4, he was a biblical separatist, a nonconformist. That's in verse 4. He had God-given magnetism. Verse 5. He got results in his ministry. Verse 6. He spoke out against God's enemies. Verse 7. He was confident in his life-changing message. Verse 8. He denounced religious tradition. Verse 9. He proclaimed God's judgment. Verse 10. He announced the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11. And then in verse 12, he described the ministry of Christ. We can look to the scripture with strong confidence and great expectation concerning this mighty prophet of God, for he too will call God's people to repentance, just like Elijah and John the Baptist. He will confront the political leader, just like Elijah and John the Baptist. He will condemn the false religious leader, the false prophet, just like Elijah and John the Baptist. He definitely will be the instrument God uses to restore the Holy Covenant, which is mentioned in Daniel 11, 28-32. He will also be the likely leader of those who will evangelize the Jews, Daniel 11, 33, Daniel 12, 3, as all Israel shall be saved, Romans 15, verse 26, or Romans 11, verse 26. When their deliverer, the Lord Jesus Christ, will come to Zion and bring in everlasting righteousness at the end of the 70th week of Daniel. Restoration, which we could call revival, of the nation of Israel, just as John the Baptist and Elijah before him, will be his focus, like the day when they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." That's what they said in response. The Jews said that in response to God's all-consuming fire. The revival of God's people, it was the result of the first and second Elijahs. That will be the primary goal of this last Elijah. Now, the Lord's sending of the third Elijah, spoken of in Malachi 4, 5, and 6, Matthew 17, 11, and Mark 9, 12, appears to be on the very doorstep of his prophetic plan that must occur during the beginning of sorrows, Matthew 24, verse 4 to 8. This happens prior to the Great Tribulation, which is in Matthew 24, 9 to 28. That's when the faithful of the nation of Israel will be scattered, Matthew 24, 15 to 28. During the Antichrist's global war with the church saints, Daniel 7, 21 to 25, Revelation 13, 1 to 18. Satan's primary focus will be centered upon the faithful Jews in the nation of Israel, Daniel 11, 21 to 12, 1. And Revelation 12, 1 to 17. Like the successful evangelists of old and his two forerunners, whom the Lord sent to his people, his emphasis will be upon repentance, providing the Lord with the opportunity to turn the hearts of his people, the Jews and Gentiles, within the existing church. Exactly when, or specifically when, this restoration of the Holy Covenant takes place is not clearly specified. However, it will be part of the ministry of this prophet to restore all things, which will have to take place prior to the last 3.5 years of the 70th week of Daniel. And it's likely to be in effect before the beginning of the 70th week, as the Antichrist's involvement with the daily sacrifice begins after he makes a covenant with the Jews at the beginning of the 70th week, which continues 2300 days or evenings and mornings, according to Daniel 8, verse 14. The time leading up to the 70th week of Daniel will be occupied by Elijah's ministry of restoration, including the revival of God's people, the restoration of all things regarding the Holy Covenant. Yes, the Antichrist will rise to power during this same time frame, confirming a covenant with the many of the nation of Israel, Daniel 9:27, at the beginning of the 70th week. Then, after 220 days, the host and regular sacrifice will be given over to the Antichrist, lasting for the next 1,040 days. That's Daniel 8:12. The culmination of his wicked influence occurs at the midpoint of the 70th week of Daniel. His forces will stop the regular sacrifice and pollute the sanctuary by setting up his image in the holy place for the remaining 1,260 days of the 70th week of Daniel. That's the abomination of desolation spoken of by the Lord Jesus in Matthew 24, verse 15. The sending of Elijah to restore all things will include the building of the temple of God, 2 Thessalonians 2:4, Revelation 11, 1 and 2. Number two, it will include the holy place, Matthew 24, 15, Revelation 11, 1. Number three, the restoration of the holy covenant itself, Daniel 11, 28 to 32. And number four, the institution of the regular sacrifice, Daniel 8, 11 to 13, Daniel 9, 27, 11, 31, and 12, 11. Number five, the implementation and honoring of the Sabbath, Matthew 24, verse 20. The recognition of the 12 tribes, Revelation 7, 3 through 8. And the turning of the hearts of the people of God, Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. Yet he will make ready a people prepared for the coming of the Lord, in order that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, might present the church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish, Ephesians 5, 27. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Titus chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in himself purifies himself, even as he is pure. 1 John 3, verse 3. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Jude 24 and 25. Although these verses I've just read contain exhortations for God's people to live holy lives during this present day, they also imply the condition of God's people when he returns. This last Elijah will preach repentance and revival as those two before him, and thereby make ready a people prepared for the return of the Lord. God's sending of this mighty Elijah-like Hebrew prophet is on the Lord's prophetic horizon and will take place in due course as a necessary prerequisite for the unfolding of God's plan during the 70th week of Daniel and the day of the Lord. Our Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you that you have a plan, and we thank you that if we study, we can understand exactly what you're going to do. And so we have confidence in thee. Our faith is in thee. We look to you, and we ask that you might strengthen our hearts, that we might stand for you in a day that is dark, but a day that is brightened by the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we might witness of him and what he's done and what he will do in the hearts of those who are willing to receive him as their Savior. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.